Take and turn to Psalms 119. We're back in Psalms this morning. Psalms 119 in the book. And we are at verses 41 through 48 today. Our text today will be taken from verse number 48 here in just a few minutes. Yeah, remember that old phrases, they come and go with the different generations and different things that take place. You know, I think right now there's a phrase that says something about, I haven't seen you in a minute. You hear that, and I'm not sure how long a minute is, but usually, it's, I don't know who started that, but it's like, I haven't seen you in a minute. And it's like, well, a minute might have been in 3 or 4 days, you know. But anyway, when I was younger, my mom liked the phrase, talk to the hand. Yeah. That, she told us, when I would talk to her, she would say, talk to the hand because the ears aren't listening. And so that was a phrase that we went around when I was growing up, talk to the hand. And then, you know, if you saw a lady that was really pretty, you'd say, boy, she's fat. And you couldn't say that. I don't know why. I guess it's a P-H-A-T, and it's supposed to be a good thing. And so anyway, if I called my wife that, I think I'd probably get slapped. And then there was a phrase that went around for a while that said, my bad. And I didn't understand what they were saying. I thought it was said my bat. And so I didn't understand. It's weird to me. Like, why, if you do something crazy, why is it my bat? And talk to the hand was a thing when I was growing up. Or actually after we were married a little bit, I think it was talk to the hand. Today, this morning, I want to preach a little while on talk with your hands. Talk with your hands. If you would stand with me today for the reading of God's Word, we'll begin at verse number 41. And read down to verse number 48. This is the sixth stanza of Psalms 119. Talk with your hands. I'll read the first verse. You'll read with me on the second. And down through, we'll do responsive reading to verse number 48. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Father, today we come to you once again before the preaching of your word. And God, I enter this time, Father, take it, Father, very seriously. And I believe, Lord, that when the word of God is preached, that heaven and hell hang in the balance for many people. And Lord, I pray that you would bless today. Father, I need your help, Lord, in a great way. That you would guide my thoughts and the words of my mouth this morning. I pray, God, that you'd also would work in the hearts of our church family. Lord, may we leave here today, Father, not just steered, but, Father, also moved. And, God, I pray that you would help us today to be changed into your likeness. And, God, I ask you, Lord, today for your help. We pray in your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Again, this is a sixth stanza of Psalms 119, and each line of this stanza in the Hebrew, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar by any means, I'm not even a Hebrew novice, but each begins with the alphabet letter Vav. It looks like this is a vertical line with a yod attached to it on the top there, but it is pronounced, I believe, Vav. In the ancient Hebrew, it has the pictograph of it. It's similar to a tent stake. And that's what the ancient Hebrew looks like in the pictograph of it, the ancient classical style Hebrew. And the meaning of the letter Vav, it means hook. And of course that appropriate as it represents a tent peg in the ancient style or the pictograph style of Hebrew. And it was used as a meaning hook or as a connecting hook. And it represents the connection of the heavenly with the earthly. So it's connecting the heavenly with the earthly. And we see the example of that in the very first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And if you were to know Hebrew, which I don't know. I'm just kind of repeating what I've read. And so the vav is in the Hebrew word and the, and it's attached to heaven and earth. And so it attaches or connects the two, the heavenly with the earthly together. And so it represents a connecting power between heaven and earth, or the heavenly and the earthly. We also see, and there are so many things. It's amazing. It's the sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and so it represents the letter six as well. And so, we talked about Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and of course it took 6 days to create the heaven and the earth, all that's in there, and there is. And so it's amazing, all these things that God does. Every jot, every tittle is there for a reason, every letter is there for a reason, and nothing is by accident with God. We also see this reference in Exodus 27:9-10, as I talked about the tabernacle, and the coverings for the tabernacle. Of course, there would be skins that would cover the tabernacle opening, and these would be fastened down to the earth with hooks of pillars. And we find the vav is there in the word hooks in the Old Testament. And throughout the Word of God, then we see that over and over again. And so just a couple of examples. The shape of the letter would indicate to us that the connection between the heavenly and earthly is not coming from the earth to heaven. It's not coming from down to up. The connection that brings us together, it comes from the heavenly to the earthly. And of course, that's a great type or a picture of Jesus Christ. We didn't rise up to where God was. He came down to where we were, that we might be saved and be redeemed. And so we find this, of course, in the book of Psalms, here in Psalms 119, this next letter, the Vav. Now, that's all I have for that part. We pick up in verse number 41, and it says in verse number 41, it says, you can turn that off. It says in verse number 41, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." Here the psalmist continues his prayer for help. And as we look at the letter Vav and what it means, what it represents, it means that hook, it connects the heavenly with the earthly. Here we find that psalmist, he's saying, Lord, the earthly man, I cannot survive without the help of the heavenly. As he prays now, he's saying, Lord, let thy mercy come on to me. I can't get to where you are on my own. So I need your mercy to come to where I am at. So he continues to pray for help. We've seen this a few weeks ago, verse number 33, he begins this prayer, and he says in verse number 33, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes." He says in verse number 34, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law." Verse number 35, he prays and says, "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments." Verse number 36, he again prays, and he says, "Incline my heart unto thy testimonies." Verse 37, he again prays a request, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity." Verse 38, he says, "Establish thy word unto thy servant." Verse 39, he says, "Turn away my reproach, which I fear." And then he says in verse number 40, "Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Make me alive. Raise me up in thy righteousness." And he says, verse 41, now he continues, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord." And so he again is true to the nature of that letter Vav, true to his what it represents and what it and the meaning of it. He's asking for that connection, that power between the heaven and the earth, earthly. He's saying, "God, I need your help," and he's asking God now to help him. I find that verse number 41, all answered prayer is a mercy of God. God does not answer prayer because he's indebted to. Every answer to prayer that God answers for man, it's an answer of mercy. God answers prayer not because he has to. He answers prayer because he loves us. So he prays now for mercy. Again, the message of the psalm, I believe the stanza is, "Lord, I'm unable to come to where you are. Let your mercy also come unto me, and by your great mercy come to where I am." And so we find that God here, he's saying, "God, please," verse number 42 says, "So shall I have with wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word." He's saying, God, give me mercy. Let your mercy come unto me in this time of trouble, in this time of tribulation, in this time of trials. Let your mercy come unto me. Help me, uphold me, that I may have wherewith to answer those who say trust in you foolishly. He's saying, God, there's those around me that say it's foolish to trust in God. It's foolish to serve Him and to have faith in Him. But Lord, if you just give me mercy so that way it will stop the mouths of the gainsayer. It'll prove to the unbeliever that it's not foolish to trust in you, but it's very profitable. It's a blessing to trust in God. And so we find that when mercy comes, when the mercy of God comes, life changes for the recipient. Boy, isn't that true? The mercy of God comes, shouldn't your life be changed? We find it, verse number 44, it says here, "So shall I keep thy law continually, forever and ever." You see, mercy makes a man faithful. And here, I want to re-emphasize today that here a psalmist is saying, Lord, I need the help of the heavenly because I can't do it on my own. This Christian life was a great life to live. There's no regrets tonight or this morning living the Christian life. It's a blessed life to live. There's no regrets in being a believer in Christ Jesus. There's no regrets tonight, this morning, being surrendered to Him and living for Him. It's a blessing to serve Him and to love Him and to walk with Him. And mercy changes a man. It makes an unfaithful man faithful, because the King of Heaven would come and redeem me from my sins and give me mercy. When I deserve punishment, when I deserve to be chastened, when I deserve hell, He gave me mercy and redeemed me and made me part of His own and loved me, and I'm His child. It makes a man faithful to the Father. Has mercy this morning changed your life? Do we only cry out for mercy to escape hell, to escape wrath and judgment? All we're looking for is our convenience. Do we let mercy change us? Mercy makes a man faithful. Mercy changes a man's walk. Verse 45 says, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." You're saying, Lord, your mercy has set me free from the bondage of sin, the bondage of this world, the bondage of the earthly. He says, I can walk at liberty to keep your precepts. Mercy changes a man's walk. Mercy also changes a man's conversation. Verse 46 says, "I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings. It will not be ashamed." Well, that's the message of Paul, Romans. If you trust in the Lord and believe in Him, you'll not be ashamed of Him. But he's saying here that, he's saying, listen, because of mercy came unto me, the heavenly connected to the earthly through Christ Jesus and God's mercy, and it changed my conversation. He said, "I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings. I'll not be ashamed." You see, mercy gives boldness and courage. Mercy gives heavenly boldness. And so mercy changes a man's conversation. Mercy changes also a man's heart. Verse number 47 says, "And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved," which I have loved. You see, the mercy of God will alter. In fact, it converts, it transforms a man's heart. You know, mercy doesn't come in and remodel your heart. That thing is wicked, and you can't know it. It's corrupt. Mercy comes in and tears the old heart down and gives you a new heart. Makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. So now this man, David, he begins to pray. He says, "Lord, I need your mercy to come also unto me and change me and let it change my heart." And he says, "When mercy comes, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved." Today, do you love Him? I think today America has made religion an idol. And I know I've said that before, but boy, it really burns my heart as I watch religious people serve a God they have made of in their own image. We take God, we take Christ out on Sunday and we put Him in our cars and put Him on our end tables and we put Him like a little idol around our necks and we go and we serve this Christ that we have designed to be our own image, and then come Monday we forget about it and we go our way thinking that we have just rubbed our good luck charm and that somehow we are okay. And David said this, Lord, I need your mercy. When your mercy comes, it'll change my heart. The things I used to love, I don't love them anymore. The things I used to delight in, I don't delight them anymore. But I delight in your word. I love you, Lord. This morning, do you love him? Boy, I just don't want to go as I get older. His word gets sweeter to me. He gets sweeter to me. I don't want to go through the motions of being a Christian. I want to know him. I want to love him. I want to love my wife, but I want to love him more. I want to be a good dad and a good grandpa. I love my kids, but I want to love him more. The older I get, the longer I'm in the ministry, I really want to be a good pastor. One day when I grow up, I'm going to be a good one. I want to love God's people, but I want to love him more. I want to love him more. And then we find that mercy changes a man's purpose and his priorities. Look at verse number 48. He says, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. Now meditate in thy statutes. Now, this is the introduction, by the way, and I'm going to give you six things here real quick in this message. And I saw the verse, for whatever reason, verse number 48 stuck out at me several weeks ago, and I tried to kind of get away from it and make the message, the content, focus on something different. But God just kept coming back to me about how a man talks with his hands. The psalmist here, he writes, he says, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments. He's stretching forth his hands unto the Lord and his commandments. He says, which I have loved, and I'll meditate in thy statutes. And so a man says a lot with his hands. People talk a lot with their hands. Have you ever just watched and considered how much we communicate with our hands? And it were for some people, if you tied their hands up, they couldn't talk. They do a lot of talking with their hands. Even those who are not using sign language. And just thinking about how much we communicate with our hands. And there can be some folks go by in the street corners. We're out passing out Bibles. And sometimes we'll see this. Or maybe even this. And we know, hey, they are agreeing with what we're doing. They're encouraging us. And sometimes we're told that we're number one. But with not that finger. And then we know, well, they ain't too excited about what we're doing here. Well, yesterday, and a car came up to the stoplight and stopped, and the windows were rolled down. It was a nice day out, and a couple was in the car, a younger couple, and they're looking at us for a little bit, and the man yelled at the window, "Hail, worship Satan!" And the wife got embarrassed and rolled the window up on her side of the car. But we do a lot of talking with our hands. And your hand this morning, your hands say a lot about your spiritual life and your walk with God. David said here, because of mercy, because of you coming to me, God, our connection, my hands also I lift up on thy commandments. Let me this morning give you six things said with the hands. And again, I never preached about this before. I hope it makes sense to you. I hope it doesn't seem childish or like that's just goofy. But I find through the Bible this kind of thing about the hands being talked about over and over again. There's many references about it. Number one is this. I'll just get into it today. If you don't like it, just smile and nod. If it's a blessing to you, then put some money in the offering plate. And no. Here's number one is this. Lift up your hands in confession. Lift up your hands in confession. Look at Psalms 26, verse number 6. The hands say a lot. Look at Psalms 26 and verse number 6. It says here, verse number 6, it says, I will wash my hands in innocency, so I compass thine altar, O Lord. Look at Psalms chapter 32, verse number 5, just a page or two over. The psalmist writes, David writes, he says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, in my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Jeremiah writes, Book of Lamentations, verse chapter 3, he says this, Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts with our hands unto God in the heavens. And so this morning here, we're talking about being connected to the heavenly, to the earthly. We're talking about God's mercy. And if there's going to be a connection in our life, or we're going to have God's mercy, He writes about His hands being lifted up. But I believe it begins with our hands being also lifted up in confession. As we look at our hands and we say, God, search me and know me and see if there's any sin in my life. You see, sin keeps us away from God. Sin has made us come short of the glory of God. And man's problem is that man is born a sinner. It's in his nature. It's in his heart. It's who he are. And we commit sin because of who we are, our very own nature. But we also commit sin because of we choose to. And our hands get dirty with sin. And so if we're going to have God's mercy and get God's mercy, we're going to say, God, I lift up my hands in confession to you and confess, Lord, check out my hands and see, God, there's sin in my heart. Jeremiah said, we're going to lift up our hearts and our hands to God for God to examine and for God to forgive us. You see, there's mercy for the sinner. There's mercy for the sinner. Listen, mercy wouldn't do any good for the righteous man. Mercy wouldn't do any good for the perfect man. Mercy is for the sinner that deserves hell, that deserves judgment. David says, I acknowledge my sin. I can see it on my hands. And so I lift up my hands in confession. Lord, I'm a sinner and I need your mercy. And boy, when we cry out for mercy, according to the book of the Bible, the Lord comes and he comes to where he's at. He leaves where he's at. He comes to where we are at to give us mercy, forgiveness. There's mercy with the Lord. There's mercy for the sinner that acknowledges and confesses his transgressions. 1 John 1, you know the verse. Many people know this verse, 1:9, because it's their favorite verse of premeditated forgiveness, right? Verse number 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If you walk with the idea, I'm not a sinner, I've never sinned in my life, I'm a pretty good guy. He said, you deceive yourself, there's no truth in you. But he says this, if we confess our sins, there's that looking, that examining. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so here we want God's mercy. And so it begins with lift up your hands in confession. Number 2, lift up your hands for help. Look at Psalms 88. Lift up your hands for help. In Psalms 88, verse number 9, here we see again another verse. It says, mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. We find in Psalms 119, 173, it says, let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. If you watch a child, especially as a child is young and begins to grow and begins to walk, and all of a sudden that child begins to, you know, do some things on their own. And as often as you raise children, there'll become times when they'll lift up their hands and stretch out for mom and dad, and they'll say, help, help me. It's reflection. Their hands are speaking what's going on in their life, their heart. And they reach out for help. A Johnny man reaches out for help. He stretches out his arms for help. And here we find that David, the psalmist here, we should speak to God with our hands. Our hands in confession, but also our hands for help. Lord, help me. By reason of affliction, by reason of my own sin, by reason, God, that I can't save myself. I'm confessing my sins, but now, God, I'm going to stretch out my hands to you for help from heaven. Boy, today, we need help. We need help. You young folks today, I know I'm not a great youth speaker. So how do you know? I'm not invited anywhere to speak to youth. But listen, young folks today, I want you to understand today, listen, you're strong and you're smart and you're athletic and you're, most of you are good looking. and you got a lot of things going on in your life, but you need His help. Don't go through your years as a young man or young lady thinking, I don't need anybody's help. I don't need God's help. No, you need to stretch out your hands like you did when you were a toddler to mom and dad. Help me! You need to go to God and say, God, help me. Help me. I need your help, O Lord. You find that when a sinner lifts his hands up to God of heaven for help, there is help. There is salvation with the Lord. Psalms 119:41, it says, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. He's saying here, this talking with your hands, this, we're asking God, God, would you please come where you're at? Come down where I'm at, because I can't get to you. I can't help myself. And Lord, I need your help. Number three, lift up your hands in surrender. Look at Psalms 141. Lift up your hands in surrender. Look at verse number 1 and 2. Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Lift up your hands in surrender. Growing up, I used to watch those old westerns. You know, the Lone Ranger and all those things in the westerns, you know. And they always, you know, Roy Rogers, they'd have, you know, shootouts and get the bad guys cornered somewhere in a mine or old mine shaft and maybe an old house and they'd have these shootouts, you know, and bullets flying here and there and pretty soon, you know, they would run out of ammo or somebody would get a little hit and they'd throw their guns out, we surrender! And they'd come out getting guns folded on them, you know, and come out here with their hands up! Right? And that's the cop shows, you know, hands up. What's that a symbol of? I surrender. I'm done. And so as we lift our hands up in confession, Lord, search me. I've sinned. We lift our hands up in help. God, help me. I can't save myself. And Lord, I surrender. I surrender. There's nothing on me that I can save myself with, God. Lord, I want you to know that I just simply want to surrender to you today. So I lift up my hands up in the evening sacrifice. Lord, I want to be surrendered unto you. Listen, today have you come to a place in your life where you have talked to God with your hands. Lord, cleanse me, God. I'm a sinner. And Lord, help me. And God, I surrender. I surrender all to you. All to you I give. I surrender all. Boy, that's a great song to sing. It's a great life to live, to surrender. Hebrews 12 is a chapter about chastisement, God's chastening. Whom God loves, He chastens. What's that mean? Well, in our vernacular, it means whom God loves, He spanks. For what reason? For our good. And then that verse number 12 says, after being chastened, verse number 12 says, wherefore lift up the feeble hands which hang down. Well, wait a minute, what's that mean? I just been spanked. I'm going to lift up my hands. What's God saying here? He's saying surrender. Surrender. Now we were mean parents when our kids were growing up. Probably not mean enough, it looks like, for some of them. But we were mean parents. And when we begin to spank our sons, we would spank them until they surrendered. We don't want to break their spirit and crush them or hurt them. But they would stay in chastisement. They would stay in trouble until they said, all right, I'm done. And boy, there's peace in that. When you finally come to the end of your rebellion and your hard heart and being stubborn and saying, God, and by the way, you know, I can remember, you know, getting our boys and spanking them. And sometimes it lasts 45 minutes to an hour. And they would just dig in and holler and scream and fight and sometimes even back talk. Well, all of a sudden, something would change in their spirit. They would go, you just hear that air to escape them. Sorry. They surrender. I think there's a lot of Christians today who are saying this, God, help me out of my mess, but I don't want to surrender. Lord, you help me my way. And Lord, you give me my way. But what we need to do is come to the Lord like this. Lord, I surrender. He's bigger than you. He's higher than you. He's sovereign. He's holy. He's righteous. But he loves you. Man, there are some folks you won't want to surrender to. Man, if some folks of our government came busting here today and said, surrender! I would say, you're crazy. I'm not turning it to you. Surrender! Quit having church! I'd say, shoot me then. Put me in jail. I'm not surrendering! But you can't go wrong surrendering to the Father. You can't go wrong by saying, Lord, I've sinned, I know it, and Lord, I need your help, and Lord, I surrender, I'm all yours, God. What do you have me to do? I'll do. I'll go where I need to go, but God, I'm yours, I surrender. Today, have you surrendered? Hey, lift up your hands and surrender. Number four is lift up your hands in prayer. Look at Psalms 143, verses 5 through 8. Verse number 5 says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all of thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Here we see this progression. We see a man, he comes to God for mercy. Lord, I can't get to where you are. Come to where I am. And Lord, give me mercy. And Lord, I acknowledge my sin. And Lord, I pray to you for help. And God, I surrender to you. And now, Lord, I need your provision. I need to provide for me, God. And so as a child, I reach out to his parents. I watched Leah grow up, and I'm excited to see her grow up and become her own little person with that little bit of that snooty attitude a little bit coming out. I'm not sure what side of the family that comes from. And she likes mom and dad. She likes grandpa and grandma, but she doesn't much care for too many other people besides that. You try to talk to her and she'll give you the little nose, you know. I've seen her also give a little shoulder shrug. I don't know where that came from. I don't know if Beth at home likes to say, now watch me. Watch, you know, do this. You know, I don't know if she's doing that at home or what it is. But boy, now she's starting to enjoy eating food and she'll start reaching. And she knows what she wants, by the way. I watched her yesterday eat. And you put something she doesn't want? No. She knows what she wants. Let me tell you something. Do you hunger today? For the Lord. Do you reach out to Him? Lord, not only do I confess and I need you, God, help me. And Lord, I surrender. But Lord, I need some provision. I got some real needs, God, in my life. And Lord, I remember the works of your hands of old. Lord, the days of old, what you did for others. Lord, you do it again for me. Lord, cause me to hear thy voice in the morning because I trust in you. Oh, today, Christian, today, God wants you to pray. You have the great right, the great privilege to come before His throne and pray to Him to find grace and mercy to help in the time of need. And He'll provide for your needs. He knows what you need. But do you reach out to Him? Do you lift up your hands? Lord, I need you. I need you. Number 5 is this morning. Lift up your hands in praise. Look at the book of Psalms 134. 134. Look at verse number 1 with me for a second. Behold, bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made the heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. So here we see the psalm again, talking with his hands. No, it's amazing that in our life that we're very animated anywhere else. At home we're animated, And, you know, the ballpark were animated. The shooting range were animated. You know, and the hunting blind were as animated as we possibly can be. Sometimes some folks are too much. Like, calm down. We come to the house of God, and all that talking with the hands tends to cease. Then we talk with the nods. We're, you know, so when they say amen, we nod in agreement with our eyes closed, you know. But here the psalmist says, listen, Lord. He said, Lord, not only do I ask you for help and I pray to you, God, but also I'm going to lift up my hands and praise. Boy, you know, I know if you did that, you would look weird, but it would do you good. You see, the hands is also a picture of what's going on in the heart. Right? It's not just pretending. Now, I've seen some folks pretend, and sometimes you can tell that. But boy, when the Lord gets a hold of your heart and grips your heart and begins to squeeze your heart with His blessings and His love and His kindness and His mercy, boy, if He gets your heart, you can't but lift up your hands. Thank you, God! Thank you, Jesus! And I love you, and you're wonderful, and I praise you! I think the problem today is a lot of Baptists, and I like being a Baptist, but we are dead at 3 o'clock in the morning. Man, we stay up late Saturday nights. We got things to do and things that people to see, and so we stay up way late in the night. We drag our tired carcass in the house of God and just kind of go through the motions. Hope He hurries up and preaches today. Not till 12:30, by the way. I got things to do and I'm hungry and I need a nap. Well, you know, I agree with all those things. I think that we ought to get naps and have a good Sunday afternoon meal with family. And tell you something, it would do us good to praise God. Just to praise Him. You know, when we lift our hands up, that takes an act of humility on our part. Right? Well, actually, we're doing this. We're casting our heart down. Our ego down. And so, the psalmist here, he says, Lord, I'm going to lift up my hands in praise. Psalm 63 says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. You know, I think that sometimes because the charismatics get so crazy, they've taken away our praise. We don't want to be charismatic. You know, we don't want to be labeled that way. And I'm glad for our heritage. But sometimes I think that we let some of the Puritan ideas and the Pilgrims ideas and where we came from, I think it sometimes filters in too much. You know, I'm not an expert at some of this stuff, but I've watched, you know, a little bit on how the Jews used to praise and read about it. We probably label them today as liberal. Man, sometimes they just get excited about what God had done for them. When God's done some great things for you, by the way, and He deserves my heart to be humbled, my hands be lifted, and say, God, You are worthy of all praise and honor and glory. Lastly, number 6 says this. So why do you have 6? Because the letter Vav represents letter 6. So I want to do justice to the letter. Number 6 is this, lift up your hands in victory. Look at the book of Psalms 144 and verse number 1. In Psalms 144 verse 1, David writes, he says, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. I think that's where the Bill's life's verse, that verse there. When I was in high school, I loved to wrestle. And I wasn't very good at basketball. I just never was a good ball handler. And I just had the ability to do that. But boy, I loved wrestling. And I wasn't a great wrestler, a little better than average. I won more than I lost. But I had a great time wrestling. And you know, you would wrestle those 3 periods, or maybe if you got, you know, were really good, you could pin somebody in the first period, you know. And so they call them, blow the whistle, and then they have the wrestlers come back to the line and stand there, and the ref would take both your hands and he would lift the one up in victory. I think of when an athlete runs a race, And they're out there running the race, whether it be a speed race or a distance race, and they're running, they're stretching toward the finish line, and as they break that barrier, break that line, they raise their hands in victory. This morning, I want to remind you, without being trying to sound arrogant, but Christ has made us more than conquerors through Him that loved us. According to 1 Corinthians 15, we have victory in Christ Jesus. And because it began with confession, it begins with confession, and it begins with reaching out for help, and it begins with surrender, and then prayer and praise. When you go through those times in your life, there's going to come a time in your life when you say, "But be victorious," and He'll raise your hand in victory. Victory over sin, victory over the flesh, or temptation. I'll tell you something that's going to be coming today, an ultimate victory one day. When all of a sudden, whether the trumpet sounds, or I close my eyes in death, I'm going to see Him face to face. Amen. I can't help but think that we'll lift our hands up in praise to the one that we see face to face, and we'll be like Him. And when He changes us, I can't help but think, as we cast our crowns at His feet, that we'll say, "Victory in Jesus!" Very victorious. All of a sudden, all these problems that we have in this life, in the first 3 minutes, will be gone. Every heartache healed, every burden lifted, every care cast at His feet. Hey, it's going to be a great time as we lift our hands up in victory. I want to give you, I want to brag on God just for a moment here as we close today. Look at me another Psalm, Psalms 95 and verse number 7. Today, what are you saying today with your hands? Maybe today you're living your life and your hands are saying this: "I'm mad at God." Maybe your hands are saying this: "I don't want God. I don't want the Spirit of God in my life. I ain't got time for that. I'll come back some other day." Today, what's your hands saying to God? Today you talk, your heart talks with your hands. Look with me at Psalms 95, verse number 7. It says this. It says, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice. I think today, as I read Psalms 119 and verse number 48, just kind of gripped my heart, and I thought, "Lord, if I preach about the hands and praising and surrender and victory, they're going to laugh and not going to get, it'd be too childish to preach that to a bunch of people." But I think it's something that we need. It's what we need. Say, what's your hand saying to God? But then God reminded me that He spoke to us with His hands. See, His heart was put in action. Did not John 3:16 say, "For God so loved," that's His heart, "that He gave," that's His hands. See, He reached out. He connected the heavenly with the earthly. He reached out and gave. Did not Christ on Calvary stretch out His hands, His arms, and say, "I love you this much"? Did not the Father say to us, "Come, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? And today He beckons you and I with His hands. "I gave, and I love. Now I invite you to come. I invite you to come." And He wants to give us everlasting life. And today, would you simply use your hands, the hands of your heart, to receive the gift? Lord, I want to trust in You. I'm going to love You and serve You. Now, by the way, this morning, I can't make you get saved. But today, the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, He invites you to come. He invites you to surrender. But one day He'll stand with a gavel in His hand, and He will judge. He will judge. Every one of us He'll judge. Some at the judgment seat of Christ, some at the great white throne judgment. But right now, in this period of grace, He's chosen to invite us invite us to give us everlasting life. Today, would you receive it? Would you surrender as a Christian and say, I'm going to live for Him? Well, today we come this morning and thank You, Father, for Your holy word. And Lord, there's something that's what we would sometimes read and pass over has great eternal value if we take heed to Your word. Dear God, I think that we are in the palm of Your hand and that You love us and take care of us. And Lord, that we shall never ever slip out of Your hand or be taken out of Your hand. No man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. Well, today I pray that You help us as Christians today, that from our heart we talk to You with our hands. This we ask today in Your name and pray. Let's all today stand together. Perhaps they say, preacher, I've not been saved, and if I died right now, I rejected Christ. I pushed Him away. I shaken my fist at Him. Today I want to surrender once and for all. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to trust in Him this morning.